This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, folks. On this Friday, the 1st of November, it's just after 12:30. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with...
Jeff Landau.
And Audrey Raj.
We've been asking you about your goals. Have you achieved any of your goals you set yourself for 2019? Yes? No? Why? How? Talk to us about that. We've got some messages coming through. We're going to get to those in just a couple of minutes, though. But we've also got a story about how it's not about the millennials. It's all about the eight-year-olds.
Yeah, sorry, Richard. This is really not about you. All me as well, okay? All me, all right? I'm not talking about millennials.
See how his voice breaks? See? Just going through puberty, this one.
Right. Okay, so yesterday, when I left you all alone, and, you know, I think we need to enforce stricter dress code because some weird reason, the one day that I was not in the office is the day that everyone in the office went crazy. But again,
it's when we had fun, Jeff, when you weren't here.
Oh!
When you were unsupervised.
Yes, right.
Wow. So I was at the Maxis Business Park Summit 2019. It's their inaugural conference, business conference, where they would gather around leaders to talk about, you know, some of the new technologies and innovation. And YB Gobind Singh Deol was also there. You know, he kind of officiated the launch of it, and he talked about how, you know, the need for, you know, to the entire Malaysia needs to be connected, and the thinking digitally as well is really important. He talked, you know, he shared more details about, you know, what happened from the budget, and it shows the aggressiveness that the current Malaysia government has in terms of digital and pushing the digital initiative. And you know, they had like many different kind of panel sessions, different track sessions that looked into mobility, how you can find your competitive advantage using big data and AI, and then there's also about cybersecurity. Literally all the big trends that you see in the tech space, you know, those kind of words were all, you know, at the event itself. And they had, you know, numerous speakers. In my conference, in my session, we had people from Cisco, from Huawei, from Samsung, from Maxis themselves. We had, you know, I had Accenture, you know, literally covering the entire technology, global players' technology landscape. And the keynote, I thought, was very interesting because they had a gentleman called Mike Walsh, and he's the CEO of Tomorrow, and he is also a global consultancy for business design. And he's, of course, a futurist. With a company like Tomorrow, he is, at the end of the day, he's a futurist. And he recently wrote a book called The Algorithmic Leader. And I thought, like, oh, that's a very interesting name because, you know, I've not heard about this, the algorithmic leader. So here's a clip of him explaining what it actually means.
So when I think about our industry, when I think about your job, how will that change? That's the question we need to be asking, not will the jobs disappear? Because there will definitely be a call for a new type of leader in the 21st century. I think of them as algorithmic leaders, because I think they're going to need two very important sets of different skills. Absolutely, you're going to need a deep understanding of human complexity. What does it take to empathize with people, to motivate people? What is a good customer experience? These are abstract, analog, deeply human concepts. But it's not enough. We're also going to need to take on something of machine qualities as well. I call it computational thinking, but essentially what this is can you adopt a structured approach to making decisions and coming up with ideas and solving problems that will allow you to leverage and augment yourself with data and technology? That's really all that it is. But people who can master those two fields will be the rock stars of the 21st century.
So his session really, you know, kind of posed, he called it mind grenade questions. So basically these are questions that, you know, makes
will
you
blow
think,
your mind.
Will blow your mind. But there are no real answers to it yet. So one of the questions that he asked was like, what are some of the apps or things that you would live in 2030 with that you can't live without? So, you know, in today's day and age, in, you know, 2019, 2020, you know, we can't live without Instagram, without Grab, you know, without Facebook and all these kind of services that we're so used to it. So what are the services in 2030, moving the goalposts, what are the services in 2030 that we can't live without? So again, we don't know the answer, but there are, you know, so many factors that we need to I guess, think. And then he started talking about, which I felt where, you know, it really kind of hit the nail in something that I've not heard in many different kind of, you know, speeches, whether it's TED Talks or, you know, just going to conferences. He's talking about it's really also thinking beyond, because for millennials, that's great. You know, whatever companies are doing currently for the millennials is really, you know, trying to encourage them to you know, like jump up the ladder as quickly as they can. Be a CEO within, you know, 18 months and so on and so forth, right? So, and then fail fast and you know, and move faster as well, right? So those are all the strategies for today. But he, as being a CEO of tomorrow, he's thinking about tomorrow. So he was saying that, you know, one of the core elements, and he noticed, you know, with the thousands of speeches that he's done, is all the global corporate leaders, they're all really good in managing million-dollar companies, managing these new talents of millennials, but they have one thing in common, and it is they struggle to handle an eight-year-old. Mm. And I thought, like, oh, that's actually very true. Anyone who has kids, I don't have a kid who's, you know, below 10, but, you know, I'm sure, Audrey, you
do, yeah.
You know, you could, I guess, resonate with the struggle in just trying to, like, how do you put things that they could understand and they could sort of, you know, leverage on, right? So here's a clip of him explaining why, you know, thinking, you know, trying to solve an eight-year-old kind of problem is really something really complex.
The next generation, how are they going to shape the future? It seems reasonable, doesn't it, that if you're going to talk about the future, the best place to start is the people that are going to live in it. But I've got some bad news for you. This is not about millennials. Are there any millennials here? You're going to be very disappointed. I know you love it when people talk about you. You guys have had such a good run. I mean, people going, oh, the millennials, we need to make them happy. We need to give them cool offices. We need to give them, they need to be CEO within 18 months or they're going to leave us. You guys keep that racket running. I'm not going to stop it. But I'm here to say that you're just the warm-up act. Because the really scary generation is the ones that are a little bit younger than you. Who's got children here? Can you raise your hands? Okay, good. So you all know how that works. Right. So, who's got young kids under 10? Okay, wow. You're very lucky if you've got young kids. And I'll say it that for a very simple reason. If you've got a young kid under 10, you're much closer to understanding the perspective of an eight-year-old. And that's important because eight-year-olds are completely different to any other generation before them. Do you know, the CEO of Microsoft recently said, the moment he felt most inadequate was when he met an eight-year-old. He was giving a speech just like this, and he noticed out of the corner of his eye there was this eight-year-old kid who was just completely ignoring him. He was on a tablet. So afterwards, he, you know, he goes up to the kid and goes, you know, what were you doing? And the kid goes, oh, I was bored, so I was making my own app. And I think Satya realized in that moment that all of this talk that we have now about disruption and technology and innovation, it means nothing to this generation because they have been born into it. And they've been born into it for a very good reason. I've got a theory about this. Think about it. When your child started crying or someone else's young child started crying, what did you do? What did you give them? You did, didn't you? Who's been guilty of this? Be honest, raise your hands. Oh, come on, you think I'm gonna report you? We've all done this. And you know what? We all felt a little bit guilty when we did it. You know, because we hand them the phone, it's like magic, they stop crying. But we're kind of wondering, is this bad for them? I mean, it's like putting scotch in the milk, you know? You know it works, but you're wondering, like, have I done something terrible to this child? But let me tell you what you did. You actually rewired the entire structure of their brain to the extent that they will now expect to communicate, interact, transact, and entertain themselves. Will for now forever change. And what that means for us as entrepreneurs, as leaders, and people in the business community, if you were going to now bet on the next big business shifts, what are they going to be? Well, it's not mobile. That's sort of the trap. It's not just about mobile or tablets. The truth is, the next big business shifts, I believe, will be shaped by the data-driven experiences that these kids, your kids, are now having on a daily basis. Because if you think about it, especially for kids, it's like there's now a layer of machine intelligence that sits between every experience that now we now have in our daily lives, whether it's organizing transportation or ordering food or watching a video or talking to our friends. There's this layer of artificial intelligence which is now governing all of those interactions. And that's going to completely change their expectations as a generation as they grow up.
So he really talks about how, you know, we struggle when we see new tech that's coming in. And then we go, ah, it's just gimmick. You know, you can talk to the device, you know, your Google Homes and Alexa and all that. But for the kids that are, you know, born in today's day and age, they're so used to just, you know, having a tablet and they know what to do. They will go and find something to keep them entertained. And they and if they see a smart speaker, they know this is something that I can talk to.
Interact with.
But we didn't grow up in that area, right? So now when we see a smart speaker, we like hesitant into like, what can we actually ask? But kids these days, they just are so used to it. And if that device can't actually speak, that's when they start going, all right, we have to make this speak, and they will be, you know, they're just born into this thing. So, you know, it's got, I thought it was just sort of like thinking differently and thinking beyond, thinking for tomorrow, which I thought was fascinating at the event.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, just thinking about it, I don't feel so bad about giving my child my mobile phone last night all of a sudden, you know. Yeah, thank you for that, Mike. But here's the thing. We have two early teen girls at home and a two-year-old. And you guys have been, I've been telling you stories about how quick and how easy it is for her to just, you know, understand how the tablet works, my laptop works. She knew how to switch the channels on the TV remote and turn it on and turn it off. Like, you know, when even before she turned one, and it was just like, for me, it was like, whoa, you know, my dad is still struggling with this. But, you know, this child has already picked it up. And especially when it comes to the smart speaker at home, right? The kind of things that I ask the smart speaker and, you know, the kind of questions I pose to the smart speaker, it's very different from the kind of things that the girls ask of it.
Give us a couple of examples.
Well, like, you know, I never think to ask my Google Mini to beatbox for me. But they do. Or they ask the Google Mini for, like, ideas on, like, school projects and things like that. But I would have gone on the desktop and actually looked for something like that on Pinterest or Instagram or something. But, you know, for them, it's just so natural to get this device to speak to them and interact with them and help them with their lives. And I'm still struggling because, and I think this just comes down to us not understanding just how this technology could help improve our lives. So we set boundaries into how we interact with these pieces of technology, but for them, there are no boundaries.
Yeah. Hold that thought. We're going to be asking you a question, of course, again, is about whether or not you've achieved your 2019 goals or have you not. Tell us why. Let us know via WhatsApp, 0187898899 on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Music up next from Jet with La Di Da. We'll be right back with our final story of the day, cleaning up the dirty music festival business here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.